welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Okay. We're going to talk about back pain, something that's quite common. Most of our listeners will have regular experiences with patients who have back pain. In fact, somewhere between 80 and 90% of adults are going to have back pain at some point in their life. In fact, back pain symptoms are the principal reason for about 2% of all office visits in the United States. And if you look at that 2%, somewhere between 3 and 5% of those 2% are related to spinal disorders. As listeners know, most of the back pain that we see is self-limited. Rarely is back pain a harbinger of serious medical illness, but it is on occasion. Although there are lots of reasons for lower back pain, spinal compression, metastatic cancer, abscesses, yada, 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 the majority of patients that we're going to see in primary care will have nonspecific back pain, and it will last usually from 3 to 5 or 6 weeks. Once it begins to last 10 or 12 weeks, experts begin to classify it as chronic back pain. At that point, patients often begin to push for more aggressive treatments. They've tried the physical therapy, they've tried the NSAIDs, and now they want something, perhaps a referral to some expert to see what's really going on. You found a poem this week in Spine, published in 2016. It begins on page 579, and it asks the clinical question, is lumbar fusion effective for patients with chronic low back pain? Mark, this was a randomized controlled trial. Was it well done? And what did they find?
It was a randomized controlled trial. It was not the greatest one ever. It does represent one of, I think, only 3 studies on this topic in the literature. And so let's go through it. It was a 13-year outcome from a trial that randomized almost 300 patients with severe chronic low back pain in a 3-to-1 ratio to either lumbar spine fusion or physical therapy. Now, the patients and surgeons knew what group they were in, obviously, but so did the outcome assessors, which is a bias in favor of the active intervention. The earlier report a long time ago, after 2 years of follow-up, showed pretty good results for surgery in the short term. So what happened in the long term? Well, using intention to treat analysis, there's no difference between groups for any outcome. They looked at a range of outcomes, including validated ones like the Oswestry Disability Index and pain frequency and employment status, but they also looked at unvalidated measures like the, quote, patient's global assessment of back pain score. And if they did an as-treated analysis, which counts the crossovers to surgery, and a per-protocol analysis, which ignores patients who crossed over or who were lost to follow-up, then they find an improvement in this one outcome of the global assessment of back pain. That's really not a good way to analyze the data. It's not, it's going to create lots of biases. And I love the accompanying editorial, which disagrees with the author's interpretation and begins with a snide headline, "Consensus at last, fusion is no better than non-operative care in improving pain and disability." That was because it agreed with 2 other trials in the UK and Norway that also found no benefit. So it's interesting, bottom line, this trial is a good example of how to do just about everything wrong in order to get the results that you want. The authors didn't conceal allocation. They didn't mask anyone in the study, including outcome assessors. They used an unvalidated, subjective primary outcome, and they downplayed or ignored the intention to treat analysis. The funding for this study came from industry, and the authors have lots of conflict of interest. I think the editorialist got it right that this essentially shows that there's no long-term benefit of lumbar fusion in these patients.
Yeah, so you have to give the editors of the journal Spine credit for having the guts to get somebody to write an editorial that really looks more broadly than just at this one study and, mm-hmm. and puts it in perspective. Again, this is something that patients often push for, not because they want the surgery, but because they're sort of desperate and want to get back to a higher quality of life. And again, it is important that we put this in perspective because often the surgeons don't have the perspective. And, as we know, there's great geographic variation in, lots of opportunities for surgeons to recommend things that may not be in our patient's best interest.
That's right. Good summary, Mike.
Talk with you again next week, Mark. Thanks. Good poem.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. We'll be right back.